you picked one of my all-time favorite Stevie Wonder songs. I don't know why it's so good. I can't help but notice that both you and Jeff Beck frequently go to the well of American soul and R&B singer composers for material.
Yes.
Why do you think those songs lend themselves so well to instrumental interpretation?
Well, it's very soulful. You know, Motown was R&B, you know, and it's, they take the melody and they have this in all Stevie especially, but Four Tops, you name it, they had the vocal dexterity to take that in a almost gospel way in every song that they did that were huge hits, you know. And that's something that I could never come close to with my own voice. But with Stevie's, the thing about, I don't know why, is that it's a lesser known track that's on an album's kind of buried. And it's one of those tracks that when I first heard it, it just starts off with this, clavinet, just very simple, three chords, very sort of underplayed. And then Stevie comes in singing like he's talking, I don't know why, I love you, you know, but he's singing it, but it's almost like he's talking it. And then it just repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats and builds and builds. Until at the end, it's almost like he becomes John Lennon singing Mother, you know, and he's screaming. Yeah. And I would love to know who the lady it was he was singing about, because he definitely felt strongly about her. So, but his breathing, he's out of breath by the end. And that's something, you know, the man came and did his, that, he worked as hard as he could on that vocal, man, and it came naturally, you know. So because he's such a genius, you know, he's so gifted. I mean, more than most people, obviously.
Are you going to go my way? It sounded like you really had fun with this one in the studio, the Lenny Kravitz song. About halfway through, you found some on-ramp for melody that I never really knew existed in this song, potentially, which was a nice surprise. How does that happen?
Well, that was one that was we all picked up on that one, and I just said, we need a out-and-out rocker. And I said, I've always loved this track. Let's see if we can do a good tribute to Lenny on this one. And always loved his songwriting, his playing, his singing, because he plays everything on every track. And
that's true.
We call that it being a clever bastard. So so which he is, and I applaud him. And and I wanted different sounds. The thing about an instrumental is you don't have different words for the second verse. Therefore, throughout the song, instrumentally, you have to build it to keep the attention of the listener and make it more desirable.
That's a good point.
And so when it got to various points in that song, I changed the sound up. And I think that's what you're referring to, whereas where there would be answers, lead lines and answers, and it just, it was a lot of, you say it sounds like a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to do that one.
Okay, we could probably do an entire, program an entire interview about this next subject. But you cover David Bowie's Loving the Alien. Now, there's probably a number of people in our listening audience that don't really know or realize your lifelong connection with David Bowie that actually predates either of you having
yes.
a professional music career. Can you just tell about how your relationship with David Bowie, you know, first started and where it goes back to?
Yes. It goes all the way back to me being 12 or 13. I wasn't going to the school where my father taught at the time. It was a year until I would go to high school, still in junior school. And but one Saturday in the summer, right before I was to go to the secondary school, my dad said, well, we're having a charity affair at the school on the weekend, you know, games and stuff, just to raise money for school stuff. And so he said, you want to come? I said, oh, yeah, I always love going to the school. So my dad was the head of the art department, huge art department. And when I arrived, there was a band playing on the steps to the entryway to the school. And they were the Conrads, and I had heard of them, but never seen them play before. And then I noticed, first of all, I noticed a white Fender Stratocaster, which was I was drooling over, because not many people had Fenders in those days in England. It was all Hofners, if you look at the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they were too expensive, you know, so to get them to England. So anyway, on the left side of the steps was this guy playing sax and singing, Little Richard numbers and Buddy Holly numbers and whatever. And I just looked at my dad and I said, who's that, Dad? He said, oh, that's Jones. He's very creative, but a little off, you know, something. I don't quite remember what he said, but
it was disparaging. It wasn't necessarily.
Yeah, no, no. But he and David had a phenomenal relationship until Dad passed, and so anyway, I just looked up at my dad and I said, "Dad, I think I want to be him." And that was the year before I went to the school, same school. And at the first lunchtime, I made a beeline for Dave, as I know him, Dave Jones, and David. And we've been friends ever since. It was three of us. It was George Underwood, too. I have to mention him because he's also in my father's class. He is the person who did Ziggy Stardust cover and a lot of stuff for David over the years.
Didn't realize.
And he's a brilliant
that.
Fine artist.
Didn't know that. That's a great piece there. Thank you. How did you come to choose David's Loving the Alien for Frampton Forgets the Words?
Well, that's pretty easy for me, because when David asked me, finally we got to play together on stage for the Glass Spider tour, having done an album already together, on Loving the Alien, at the end, was David said, why don't you use that as your party piece, basically? It's your feature. So it was an extended solo and really did feature my playing. And every night, it just was one of those wonderful experiences for me to do this. And I didn't do any of my numbers, nothing, just all David. Didn't even want to do background vocals, because I was just wanted to be the guitar player behind Dave, you know, and I got my wish. But so when it came to the Forgets the Words, it was pretty obvious which one I wanted to try. It's a well-known song, but it's a lesser-known song of David's. But it is so powerful. You know, we've actually just finished a video with the band for it, which will be coming out soon.
Wonderful, wonderful. Great news. Did you happen to play on This Is Not America from the movie soundtrack, The Falcon and the Snowman, from about the same period? Did you play on that?
Oh, gosh. You know, I don't think so, but you never know. You know, there's certain things I remember, and then there's those periods where I think a little plaque has gone over in my brain.
Well, listen, for Frampton Makes Another or Frampton Rides Again, please consider that. I think you would do a bang-up job on This Is Not America. See if you can dig that up and see if that
I will.
See if that would work out for you. And finally, Maybe. The Twin Harmony Lines are back on Maybe.
Yes.
So sweet. Who wrote that chestnut?
That is written by my dear co-writing partner for over 24 years now, Mr. Gordon Kennedy. And he's written many, many songs for Bonnie Raitt. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. But this was a song he wrote for Alison Krauss. And he sent me her version of Maybe out of the blue when she'd done it. And I couldn't take it off my iTunes. It was just on a loop. Her voice is spectacular and so soulful and beautiful. And what she did to the song was just amazing. And I said to Gordon, I want to do that on will you play acoustic on it with me and the band? Because I want to do that song. And he said, how do you do that song instrumentally?
Good point.
And I said, well, we'll see, won't we? And so we laid down the track, and then I went out and put the lead guitar on it.
Thank you.
It's one of the few times I didn't play the lead with the band because we wanted more acoustics to lay it down with. And I just, so I did the track, the lead part. I came in the control room and Gordon went, "Well, that answered my question. That's how you do maybe as an instrumental." Oh, so that was a lovely compliment. And he's a wonderful man and a tremendous storyteller and one of my dearest friends.
Great. Wrapping up, because I know you got a split, in the small world department, did Dan Wojciechowski, your drummer, ever tell you that he used to play every Friday afternoon for me on my radio show?
No, he did not. He did not say that.
Well, everybody's got to start someplace.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Dan is the nicest person you'd ever wish to meet.
Isn't he, though? And Wojo was the drummer with the Andy Timmons band.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, well, Andy Timmons, my dear friend Andy, would bring his trio, and they were the house band for me for 2 or 3 years. Every Friday afternoon, I would leave the radio station and go out into the community here in Dallas-Fort Worth, and I would do my radio show from a different lounge, bar, restaurant, or something like that. And I had a house band, the same way that Stephen Colbert has John, the same way that, you know, they have the Roots with Jimmy.
Right.
I would have the Andy Timmons band, and Wojo was the drummer.
Oh, yeah. Well, he and Andy are dear friends. And Dan is one of those people that, you know, it's just, he's a dream.
He's a great drummer.
He's not only the world's nicest man, he's also one of the world's greatest drummers.
He really is
so phenomenal.
Well, he feels, you know, it's symbiotic for the two of you to find each other. And I'll leave you with this. At the Crossroads Festival, to get you and Eric into a two-shot, the camera kept framing you on the right of the screen, Eric on the left, and Wojo gets some serious FaceTime in between the two of you.
It was great. I love it. I love it.
We did too. We did too. We did too. This is Redbeard thanking my guest, Peter Frampton. God bless you always, Pete. Special thanks to Lisa Jenkins and to Mark Fisher. In the Studio is produced for Bearded Fish Productions by Redbeard, copyright 2021, all rights reserved. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and online at inthestudio.net.